Here I am to give my own talk entitled The Quadrant of Ubiquity. And for anybody who hasn't met me before, the talk that I'm about to give, some of the ideas you will see written down in my own book, which is entitled, right there, Why PowerPoint Clickers Suck, Why Software Sucks. All right? Anybody read that? A few? Not many. All right, fine. He will find it on Amazon. But I'll bet more people have seen this. This is my column in MSDN magazine, right? You guys been reading that? It's just inside the back cover. A few? Okay, good. Welcome. Where? Good. All right. Now, the reason software sucks is this. Because developers don't put their users first. Because they start doing things completely and totally ass backwards. They look at their technology and they say, okay, where can I use this piece of technology? They look at WPF and they say, all right, I've got color gradients, I've got animations, I've got fades. Where should the color gradients go? Where should the animations go? They start doing things from the technology outwards. All right, they start with the technology and they work outwards. And that's bad. That leads to absolutely terrible results. If you go to my website, www.rollthunder.com, right? Got an article entitled Using WPF for Good and Not Evil. It is a critique of that Family Show application, which uses the exact same features to do really nice things with and also really bad things with. It's an astonishingly good teaching application. Probably not exactly what they were aiming at, but anyway, that's what you'll see. Instead, the right way, the way things ought to be done, is to start from the user. Start from the user and work inwards. Who is the user? Why has the user come to you? What problem is the user trying to solve? What are the characteristics of a good solution? What would make the user happy? And after you get those questions answered, then and only then should you start thinking about, okay, this is what we want to produce. Now, how close can we get to that with the technology that we have? All right? So you really need to start from the user. And here is the way that I have come up with the tool that I myself have built for starting that conversation. All right. And this presents to you the Quadrant of Ubiquity, trademark, patent pending, and all of that. How many of you guys were here last year, came to this conference last year? Okay, okay. Do you remember Martin Fowler's keynote here? Martin Fowler gave a keynote, the famous Martin Fowler, and he was absolutely spellbinding. I can't remember what the hell he said, but it had something to do with quadrants, and it was very, very, very convincing. So based on that, I thought to myself, you know, quadrants, that's it. If you want to have a management tool to appeal not to the programmer geeks, who I kind of know how to talk to, but, you know, let's face it, you guys don't have any money, all right? And if I ever want to make the private school payments for my daughters, what I kind of need to do is appeal to managers. And to do that, you've got to have a quadrant. So I sat down and I thought up this, the quadrant of ubiquity. When you're building an application, the first thing that you want to think about, the interaction that you're going to have with users, think about just how ubiquitous you expect your thing to be in their lives. Just how much of the user's lives do you think your application is going to be involved with? And I came up with two axes here. On the vertical axis, this is the depth of the session that you have with the user. How deep do you go in the user's thought processes? How deep does the user go into your application's feature set? How long is the user actually there interacting with your program? And so going up, we have longer and deeper sessions on the top and shorter and shallower sessions here on the bottom. Then here on the x-axis, what I have is how frequently does the user use your program? Over here on the left is less frequent usage. And over here on the right is more frequent usage. So the very first thing you want to do is you want to pay me the royalties for this, and then you want to go plot your application on this quadrant of ubiquity. Actually, I haven't quite figured out how to collect royalties on it, so why don't you guys just kind of draw it and use it? Right? So I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about examples. So here, in the lower left quadrant, the less frequent and shorter usage, An example of that would be the website in Boston, the commuter rail website put up by the Transit Authority that has the commuter rail schedule on it. That's an example of this less frequent and shallower usage. When you think about usage that is also infrequent, but is deeper and longer when it happens, an example of that here is Quicken, the bill-paying program. How often do you pay your bills? All right. How often do I pay my bills? And the answer is a lot less frequently than I did a year or two ago. But that's how it goes sometimes. Anyway, how often do you use that? And the answer is once or twice a month, give or take. And how long a session do you have when you sit down and pay your bills? And the answer is an hour, give or take, 45 minutes, hour and a half, something like that. So that's an example of a longer session that happens less frequently. If you think of a session that happens a lot more frequently, but doesn't last as long, something like an internet radio application. Any of you guys listen to Live 365? Right? Or Pandora.com, any of those guys? All right? And you know they have those player applications? They're a lot easier to use than the web browser, and they don't show up on the alt tab list when you're tabbing between applications and things like that. They're very convenient. And that is an example. But you don't do very much with them. You turn them on, you turn them off, you change the channel. That's kind of about all you do. So you use this a lot more frequently, but you don't go in very deep when you do use it. So that's the lower right quadrant, the shorter, shallower sessions that happen more frequently. And then, of course, the upper right quadrant that you see here, long sessions all day. And deep sessions every day. So that would be Visual Studio, classic example. So you see how each of these kinds of applications has a very different usage pattern. And that is going to dictate, to a great degree, that's going to dictate the technology that you use for building these kinds of applications and the kinds of designs that you put into these applications after you pick the technology and start building them. Let me show you examples of each here. This is the Massachusetts Bay Transportation Authority commuter rail schedule. All right. Now, who is their potential audience? The answer is everybody. Everybody that might ride the commuter rail. That's everybody. That is their mission. All right. And most people don't go to this that often. After you get the schedule for your commuter rail line, you tend to print it out. Or just remember, there's usually only one or two trains you take. So most people don't go here that often. And when they go here, they don't stay here very long. They say, okay, let's see, there's a train at 7:41, there's another one at 7:57, 8:21, I could do that, 8:30, that's too late. All right, I'll take the... And that's what they do. It doesn't last long. So, so how do you build this? What does this mean? Well, that means that there is just no time and no place for downloading and installing anything at all. This one pretty much needs to be a straight HTML application. And think of this, as a government agency, it is their job to reach everybody in the universe, so they really can't insist on a browser upgrade for anything. In fact, these guys are set up when you pick, when you select the weekend schedule, you have to click a button for redisplaying the time. Why? Because they don't want to even depend on JavaScript working on your browser. Deliberate design choice because of the audience that they serve. So, here. There's an example. It needs to be quick to learn, needs to be easy to use the very first time. You need the absolute minimum of prerequisites. You need to be compatible with the widest possible audience. And the one thing that I'm going to add to this is just to see how the market is going, it needs to be compatible and work well with phone-based browsers. Point here is, this is an infrequent, short application. You don't hit it very often, and when you do, you don't stay long. But it's absolutely critical that it work properly, and that kind of means you really can't do this with anything other than a plain HTML website. Even downloading and installing Silverlight or Flash is just way too much here. So that's my infrequent short, the lower left quadrant. See that? All right. Now, let us consider, if you will, here. This is Quicken. This is the upper left quadrant, the infrequent but longer session. What does a user do here? User pays his bills. sits down, he types in some checks. How much money does he have? You enter the check, it keeps track of your running balance. You download credit card statements. What happens here? How does this application need to work? What does its usage pattern say about how you need to design it? Well, things like this, they get used once or twice a month. The user will tend to forget things from one session to the other. If a user learns a keyboard shortcut the first time, may well not remember it 2 weeks from now. All right? So you won't really get a very big population of power users that remember all the keystrokes the way you get in Visual Studio. So the user interface needs to be obvious. A lot of times you want to have wizard support for guiding him through this or that, at least until he comes up to speed every week. And shortening the session is something that the user would appreciate. Setting up fire and forget operations, like automatic download of credit card statements. He doesn't have to type it in every time. It remembers, and just every time he comes in, automatically sucks down the credit card statements. Things like this. All right? And to do this, you could do it in Silverlight if you wanted, or you could have a native application if you wanted. Probably an HTML browser will not be anywhere near rich enough to get this done as well as it needs to be. You need a fairly rich application to get this to go. So that's the kind of thing that you have here. All right? You see what I mean about the infrequent long pattern? All right. Let's look at the other quadrants. Here, this is an example. This is the Live 365 Internet Radio Player. It comes in somewhat larger versions and somewhat smaller versions. When you listen to Live 365, one of these shows up on your screen. Because, now remember, this is in the frequent but shallow, frequent but short interactions with it. You set it up, and what do? Well, you click one of these buttons. That's what you do. Play channel 1, play channel 2, play channel 3, channel 4, etc. It's just like your car radio. All right? Here, so that's a good example. A really bad example is Vonage. Anybody have Vonage voice over IP phone? I have one. Nobody else has got one there. They're having that problem, aren't they? Problem with Vonage is they don't have anything at all on your desktop. If you want to see your list of calls, if you want to get your voicemail, just these very, very simple things, you have to go to their web browser every time. You have to log in every time. You have to pick one of their tabs every time. Complete and total pain in the ass. There should be a small little Vonage app that sits in your system tray that you can click on, and it'll show the last caller ID, and it'll show the last number of messages and let you delete the messages and things like that. The most frequently used operations should be very, very easy to get at. Now, the operations that you do much less frequently, change the credit card with which you pay, for example, they can stay on the website. That's probably a good place for them because you don't use that very often. That is a rather infrequent and fairly shallow thing when you do it. But the infrequency of the operation means that it shouldn't be sitting there on the desktop. But the frequently used things, like looking at your voicemail, should be and are not. And I've yelled at them any number of times for this. Anyway, so what this does, because these operations are frequent, you need to make them as efficient as possible, like that those 6 buttons on the radio, perhaps 8, perhaps 10. But not too terribly many, right? And for the things that you do less frequently, well, a website is good for that. Now, I'm expecting this category, the frequent but short, to explode in the next year or two with the usage of app phones. And that term comes from David Pogue to differentiate a phone that runs apps, such as the iPhone, such as the Windows 7 phone. The term from the quote-unquote smartphones that we've had in the previous years that only really got your email. So, anyway, as you'll see in my, I think it's the November MSDN column, I wrote about the Windows 7 phone and the kind of apps that are going to need to get written for it in order for it to go places. Only about 14% of the phones sold in the last year were these app phones. Everybody that has one, like yourselves, is by definition an early adopter. The mainstream has not yet moved over. When it does, I expect to see a lot more of these things. And the MBTA, the commuter rail site, they may well have a phone app. And it won't have anywhere near the functionality that their website does, but it will provide very quick, very fast access to the small number of things that an individual person might want. You set up the app and you might say, okay, here is the train line that I work on. Keep me up to date on that one. Then anytime you pull out the phone, press one button, zing, there are all the trains on that particular line. That's what time they're scheduled. That's how they're actually running today. Things like that. All right. Short and frequent. And finally, here. Finally, good old Visual Studio. All right. I think I'm going to write another column. Anytime anybody says, oh, well, my UI is great, it's just like Visual Studio, I'm going to say you're almost certainly wrong, unless you're writing it for programmer geeks that use Visual Studio. No, you're almost certainly barking up the wrong tree. But for an application that you use all day, every day, like this, again, a very different usage profile applies. If you look here, I've used all day, every day. These are what you call line of business applications. They let you do, help you do the main thing that your boss pays you to do, like write software. Foreign exchange trader workbench, for example, is another line of business application. The reservation system for an airline, for the ones that still have human beings for that. Banking software, things like this. They are line of business applications, and their success or their failure will dictate their you know, how good their user interface is and how well you can learn it and use it will dictate how whether these things will succeed or fail. Now, because so much is riding on these things, I would expect them to be absolutely, you know, brutally culled by the market for any that don't cut the mustard. Anybody seen a Borland development workshop lately? You see what I mean? You remember Borland, right? They used to be a software vendor? Yeah, okay. All right, so here, small efficiencies add up. If you save a keystroke here and you save a keystroke there, well, you mean that because the user uses them all day, every day, those add up and add up and add up and add up. And so do the small inefficiencies. If it costs one extra keystroke here and one extra keystroke there, well, that just drags you down and drags you down and drags you down and drags you down. It's like walking around all day with gum stuck to the sole of your shoe. It's not that you can't pick your foot up. You can. It just takes a little more energy. Not much energy, but it takes that much more energy from every step. So it gets repeated again and again and again, and at the end of the day, you're walking a lot slower than you would have been. And it's hard to do such an important application in anything other than a full desktop application. All right? And here, the wizards are not bad as a teaching tool to get the user into them at first, but the users will tend to learn the keyboard shortcuts, exactly where these various menu things are hidden, what the funny little squiggly pictures mean, even though they don't make a whole lot of sense. The users will learn that because they use these things again and again and again every day. And they do something on Monday. Because they're doing it again on Tuesday, they will probably remember what to do in a way that the guy who was using Quicken to pay the bills once a month is not going to remember. So that is my quadrant of ubiquity. If you look back, you see now, I'll flip back to it. Here, you see what I mean. Got depth of the interaction along the vertical axis. I've got frequency of the interaction along the horizontal. And so, whatever application you're looking to build, you need to place it here first. And that will tell you, this will tell you very quickly, very graphically, just exactly what kind of user interface you ought to be designing. I was talking to one of the team here, and he was saying, well, okay, what happens when you have two different user populations? The example that the guy gave was Outlook. And most people just use Outlook to get a little bit of email. They do it every day, but they don't go very deeply. They'll use Outlook for half an hour a day. They'll get their email. They'll read the email. They'll reply to the email, and that's all they'll do. A lot of people do that. On the other hand, some people just stay in Outlook all day. Just admins, for example, will do that. They'll stay in Outlook all day, scheduling this, writing that, sending this email, drawing a chart, doing this, doing that. And how would you model that? And my answer, after I thought about it a little, is I would model these two different user populations separately on the same quadrant. And if I did that, if you think about that, well, then you would have a fairly large user population that would be kind of down here. It's more frequent, but it's not as deep. And then you would have a relatively small population that would be up here. It's pretty frequent, and it's pretty deep, too. And so you would have these two different user populations, place each one of them here, understand the operation of each one of these guys, and that would tell you the sorts of things that each one of your populations was going to need. Anybody want to tell me about an application you have and see if we can fit it on here anywhere? Where? iTunes, okay. Where would I fit iTunes? Again, I think I would put iTunes somewhere like here. I would put the player down here. I would call iTunes more or less the same thing as Live 365. You will tend to do more searching for songs, but my guess is that would probably be on the website, and what's on the desktop, what's on the desktop would kind of stay down there. So I would say iTunes has got something here, and I would say iTunes has got another patch there, is my take on it. Sir? No? Okay, just head lice, that's all. Where? Windows 7. Now, I don't know. Well, okay, let's think about it. Windows 7, I would say, most people are going to be using it more or less all day, every day, but hardly anybody is going to go into it in any depth. So I would say Windows 7 is right about out here, right? So you want to make it possible to do the things that you need to do, knowing as little as you possibly can, and have the most frequently used operations, such as launching a program, be very, very easy. And the ones that are less frequent can be a little more difficult. Installing a program, for example, I would call Windows 7 out here. Acrobat Reader, okay. I would call Acrobat Reader again. Pretty frequent. Not quite as frequent as Windows, maybe back here. Pretty frequent, but again, not very deep. What do? You read, you scroll up and down, you zoom in and zoom out, you might do a search, you might do a print. Okay, frequency is about here, and depth is not down here, but maybe up there. Something like that. That's what I would call for Acrobat Reader, plus or minus. Yes, sir?
We are talking about existing applications.
We're talking about existing applications. Yes, we are. Tell me about one you're dreaming of.
But as you said, when we try to plan or try to build new application, we need to position it here.
When you try a new application, yes, you do need to position it here. You need to ask yourself, how often is my user going to use my application? If it's once a year, well, you got one kind of thing. If it's once a month, you got a different kind of thing. If it's once a week, once a day, five times a day, you got very different usage profiles, and that will mean very, very, very different user interface designs that you would have for this. Sometimes the way in which you build and design an application can have a huge influence as to where it goes here. That's right. If you have an application like the radio, and it takes me five or six clicks to play a station instead of one, I'll show you where your application's going to be. It's going to be right down there. The frequency of usage is going to be zero, and so is the depth. So, yes, you do. You need to think about where you fit. Yes, sir. And you're next, sir.
Online banking.
Where?
Online banking.
Online banking. Okay. Online banking, I would say, how frequently do you touch your online bank? Probably a little more than Intuit, but not much. Perhaps once a week, maybe? And how deep does it go? So the frequency would be, I'd say, fairly low. The depth of the session is fairly low. I would call online banking about there, plus or minus.
Unless you're serving a business
customer. Unless you're serving a business customer, okay. If you're a business customer, well, all right, you would look every day, so the frequency would be out here. The depth would be a little higher. You're more like here, perhaps. All right. And, okay, one more, and then we got to get moving. Yes, sir. Where?
Word.
Microsoft Word. Again, very, very different. I myself write, you will have different populations. I myself spend a lot of my time writing. So for Word, interestingly, I am out here for frequency, but I'm not very high for depth. I type things in, I cut, I paste, I use the spell checker. That's about it. I don't use 1/100th of what Word does. A friend of mine on the office team says that's actually very typical. If you look at a histogram of the features that are used, right, there are hundreds and hundreds of features. There are about 5 or 6 features that are used by 98% of Word users. And from then on, it falls off choom like that. All the rest of the features are used by 2 or 3% of the users. There are no features in all of Office, in all of Word, that are used by 50% of the users. It's either 98% for just a few of them, or 2 or 3% for the rest of them. So for myself, I would say my word frequency is out here. My depth isn't more than about there. Now, if you go look at what my wife does, she uses Word a couple of times a week. You look at what my daughters do, they use Word 3 times a week, something like that. You will have different populations. What you will not find, you will find almost nobody that goes into Word in any depth. I was astonished when I saw those numbers. All right. So what am I going to do here next? Here, when I've got this, what's my next piece of research that I'm going to do here? Well, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to quantify this. I'm going to put numbers instead of just saying less frequent, more frequent. I'm going to say, okay, how often? Once a year, twice a year, once a quarter, once a month, once a week, twice a week, etc. I'm going to quantify the axes. All right, so I'm going to quantify that. And that's what I'm going to do next. So thanks a lot for coming to my talk about the quadrant of ubiquity. The next time you're here, I will show you here the curve of activation energy. That's cool. Thanks a lot. That's where to find me, and I'll be around the rest of the week. You'll get the slide deck on your you'll get the slide deck on your wrist bracelet when they give it to you. Thanks a lot for coming. I'll see you later. Good night.